Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everybody to Pro Wrestling Interviews. We got a great show and a great guest lined up tonight, so just sit back and enjoy tonight's Pro Wrestling Interviews. First of all, one of our co-hosts from Richmond, Virginia, here's Tony. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
I am doing fantastic. You know, today was a little drizzly here in the RVA, but you know, we're all here. I'm excited to have our very, very special guest here tonight. He is a Richmond native pro wrestler. He has wrestled for Classic Pro Wrestling, GXW, United Elite Wrestling, and so much more. And I'm excited to have Mr. Ethan Cross. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, Ethan, we're glad to have you here. And also want to introduce Steve Logan from Richmond, Virginia as well. How you doing tonight, Steve?
So, Steven, and yes, I'm doing great, doing stellar. Tony, please take it away.
All righty. Well, Ethan, I was like, you know, I saw you a couple weekends ago, I think, at Fredericksburg, Virginia, when Classic Pro Wrestling did a show for Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Meadow Farm Nursery. And I would say that was so much fun, and it was great to see you in the ring. So I want to ask you, since we are celebrating Breast Cancer Awareness Month, what was it like doing that event for a very special cause?
Oh, yes. It's always doing something to give back. It's been like, if people knew my history, then they understand me even more. I don't mind, like, doing stuff like that. For me, it's giving back.
That is awesome. And, you know, we have seen a lot of your work throughout the years for multiple promotions as well. But I know one of the promotions that you really was big on was a former promotion called GXW Wrestling. And I want to ask you, like, how did you, like, get into GXW? Like, tell me, like how it all started.
Oh, man. Okay, from 1995 until 2008, I was incarcerated. I was in prison. When I got released in 2008, in 2010, I worried the world out my best friend. And she knew about computers then than I did, because when I was back in the 90s, there wasn't no such thing of YouTube and all that computer stuff. So she found GXW for me through the help of Mickey James and her. And, man, I ended up doing wrestling since 2010.
Nice. Is that the reason why you had the orange jumpsuit during your GXW time?
Oh, yeah. It was based on my real-life situation.
Mm-hmm. How tough was it, your real-life situation, throughout that time? Because that is a lot of time to be...
Oh.
Yeah, out of the public, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was tough for me, but, you know, I had it in my mind that I wasn't going back. I know that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to... So I just took a negative and turned into a positive. Like, I was... When I was in the area that I lived in, I was fighting always. So it got me in trouble. So I just took a negative and turned into a positive.
Mhm. And were you into wrestling at all before your time away, or during your incarceration. Did you watch wrestling during it or before that?
Yeah, I watched it when I'm doing my time incarceration. I used to watch Monday Night Raw a lot. But even before then, I used to sit there with my dad, and my dad used to watch when it was WCW and Monday Night Nitro back then. So I used to watch wrestling then, but then I really went into until maybe about 4 years before release, upon release. And I just said one day, if I can, I'm going to try it.
Right. Who were some of your favorites just as a viewer?
As a viewer? Oh, Ric Flair, of course. One and awesome. One before my time is Buddy Rogers, just the way he moved in the ring. So he was my all-time favorite as well. And then you got your Hulk Hogan's and Coco Beware and all that.
How was Mickie James? Did you train a lot with her or at the Ron Farrow?
Yeah, when I joined GXW, she would come there and she would train. Actually, she taught me some stuff when I first interrupted there, and she trained me a little. And then it was her husband, when he was there, he trained me. So I had a good trainer. Yep.
I was around for the later portion of GXW. I believe Mickie James and Nick Aldis had like a show with Jake St. Roberts at one point in Richmond. It was at like a bar, and that was fun. And then the next night was GXW, and I got to see Jake interact with Corey Bush there. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, it was. I believe that show had a lot of TNA guys on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So GXW was your first start in Virginia wrestling?
Yep, sure was. And then from there, I just moved from promotion to promotion to get better, and people was like way better than I was. That's how I learned how to wrestle.
For sure. I feel that way in grappling in general. Have you worked outside of Virginia, like Maryland, North Carolina, East Coast area?
Oh, yeah. Did shows in Maryland. Did shows in Florida. I did show North Carolina.
Nice.
I did in like 50 some states so far now.
Right. Yeah. How would you compare Virginia to other states? Because I know like North Carolina, for example, is not really regulated. Virginia and Maryland kind of is. How would you compare working the different states?
Crowd-wise is different. What I can do in Richmond, North Carolina guys, fans don't like that type of stuff. So you have to like adapt to what they like and what they don't like. And like a lot of people would ask me what style I am, and I always tell them I have no style because I'm like a chameleon. I like to adapt to other styles and adapt to different types of things. And that's my way of getting wrestling in, to not have a certain style, just to adapt to fans and see what they like and what they don't like and adapt to that.
Yeah, I guess if you had to use a term, I would say hybrid or classic wrestler. You have an old school influence. So I got to ask, we were talking about Humphrey before the show. With him retiring soon, can you explain possibly why he's stepping away and what's the next show for him and you coming up?
Next show for him was before he retires, the 28th this month. Don't know all details of personally why he's retiring. My guess, and I think personal reason, but I'm not quite sure. But I'll be working with him on the 28th, and I believe that will be his last show.
What is one of your favorite moments working with Humphrey, as you know, him as a manager or just in general? I'm sure you've had a lot of years with Humphrey.
Oh God, yeah. Oh man, I can name a lot, but I will say, oh man. When we was in GXW, we crashed a wedding. Yeah, I'll say that will be one of my favorite moments there.
What was it, a wrestling wedding, or is it like an actual planned wedding outside of wrestling?
But it was a wrestling wedding.
Oh yeah. That's
funny. Oh yeah. Oh God, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how Humphrey could wear those leather, not leather, but the fur coat, especially in this Virginia weather. As far
yeah.
as he's like, doesn't sweat a puddle wearing what he'd wear.
I know, right? Yeah, I should ask him one day.
I gotta ask, did he ever load that that briefcase?
I'm gonna say yeah, but if you can get him on the show and ask him, I'm gonna let him.
Let him explain it, okay? Then Cornette yeah. used to load his racket sometimes.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, I'm sure he's got plenty of stories. Ethan, what is your favorite match you've had so far as a wrestler?
Well, my favorite match? I have quite a few. The first one I'm going to name is one of my favorite match I had with Swerve before he went into WWE.
Nice.
Yep. It was like the third match I had with him, and he gave me a hug and said thank you. And like, that was one of my favorite match right there. Because he was also was my trainer.
Yeah, did he work in GXW for a while? Because I know Ron is familiar with him, but I wasn't around then when he was working there.
Oh, yeah, he worked for GXW for a while. And actually, he was doing shows there when I first started.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that Richmond has some great talent with Mickey James and Swerve.
I know,
I'm
right?
Sure others. How do you think Swerve is doing now compared to his WWE run? Like, do you like the Swerve and Glory tag team? Did you like Hit Row and WWE? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts either one. Well, I always say, well, what makes a person happy? You know, I'm not going to be one of the ones to be like, oh, man, he should have stayed here. He should have went back there. I always look at if you a worker and wherever you go, if you happy, go for it. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, agreed. He seems to be hitting his stride lately in AEW, and I've seen a little bit of him before WWE just around, but he seemed to be a breakout star for WWE potentially. I like these getting some tag team work with AEW, so it's good to see him. And one of my favorite wrestlers is Malakai Black, and I've seen Swerve wear his stuff because Malakai's got like a clothing line, and I've seen Swerve wear it.
Awesome.
Pretty cool.
Oh yeah, awesome.
You've had some matches with Gordon Braswell. Tony, our co-host, was sending us some videos. What is your favorite match with Gordon Braswell? Because I believe you had one at GXW and Classic Pro.
Yeah, I had so many matches with that man. I love wrestling him. I like him, period. But he can... I like him because he bring out what I'm normal of scared of.
Mm-hmm.
I wrestle old school. I got a new school twist to it, and it's like wrestling him. It's like, okay, old school cool, but think outside the box, and he makes me think outside the box.
Yeah, that's some good endorsement. Have you seen Gordon work recently? Because to be, I don't know if he's still working Classic Pro like occasionally or somewhere else. Have you seen Gordon lately?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen or heard from Gordon. The last match, I believe it was with Classic Pro. So I believe that when the last time I saw him.
Yeah, Tony was sending us links, and one of the matches you had with Gordon might have been the last man standing match, and then we watched a GXW match you had with him, and it was 2 out of 3 falls, and he won a title on that one. So
yep.
He seemed to have some good matches with him. I remember seeing him at the local show, so it's good to hear about him. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yep.
I gotta ask though. You got any goals for wrestling? For the end of the year or next year?
Oh yeah. Oh, I always set my goal high. Always stay humble. But I know December 3rd, I'm in New Jersey, and I get to go in front of at least 25 different promotions, national and international, and so you could, work a TV contract or get on one of any of those promotions. It's a tryout. And even maybe work that show that night with Standalone Wrestling. Other than that, my goal will always be the same. Work hard, be humble, continue to do it until I can't do it no more.
Hey, I know John's busy right now, but if you can, let Tony back in. He's having some audio issues, but Ethan, if he had a dream opponent to work with, either locally or just in general, who would be some of your dream opponents?
Oh, man. One, I have three. One would be Moxley. Two, it would be Swerve again.
Y'all hear me? Tony, I hear you great. We were just talking about dream opponents, and Ethan said Moxley, Swerve again, and Malakai Black, and those are definitely matches I'd love to see. What are your thoughts, Tony?
I was saying, Swerve was actually a part of one of my favorite tag teams that is actually back in WWE, Hit Row. Because, like, Hit Row, like, I just love, like, their, like, the energy and, all, of course, the theme song, because I think the theme song is, like, very catchy. And Malakai Black, like, I've always, like, been a fan of Malakai Black because, like, you know, his, you know, technique and everything. And, you know, I can, you know, I can definitely see you have, like, matches, like, with them in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to see it myself. Malakai and Mox are two of my favorites, and I see a lot of potential in Swerve, so I would love to see a rematch between them. But, yeah, and I think Moxley would fit your style because I feel like Ethan could be a brawler. So, yeah, that's some interesting matchups for sure. Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
But also, so even like the first time I actually saw you, because I didn't get to see GXW growing up, but I saw like videos and stuff. But the first time I actually saw you was at a United League Wrestling show when you fought Isaiah Frazier. So I want to ask you, like, how did you get into United League Wrestling?
Reached out to them. They reached back out to me. It was a new company coming in Richmond, Virginia. And wrestling Isaiah, like, he's good. And I love wrestling.
I saw a YouTube video of when you teamed up with United League Wrestling's stars Jaw Washington against Jason and Wes Rogers. So I got to see, like, you got to work with some of the stars of United League Wrestling.
Yeah.
But I actually did mention how you got to work with my uncle, Preston Brown, who also used to be a professional wrestler back in the day. So I want to ask you, like, what was it like getting to work with him?
Oh, it was awesome. And working with him, like, it was awesome feeling. And plus, he was teaching me a lot of stuff because when he was my manager at that time, like, I mean, I'm still learning, but back then I was learning too as well. And I just thought, so he was showing me the ropes. And I just was quiet and I paid attention and I listened.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know, like, he has taught you a lot because, like, he has been in the business for a very long time. And I know last time we talked, you also mentioned about a tryout that you're going for in New Jersey. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is a company called Standalone Wrestling. It's over 25 different promotions. Going to be doing scouting nationally and internationally. One of them is AEW, the other one WWE, and then you got MCW, you got New Japan, and there's just a few, but it's tons of them. It's a tryout, and the winner of that will get to go on the show that following night.
Nice.
Oh wow, that's amazing. But I know, because usually we don't have a lot of tryouts here in Virginia, so it's really awesome that you get to go to another state and try out for not just like one promotion, but like a whole lot of promotions, like, you know, like you said, WWE, AEW, New Japan, Impact, and DCW, all the promotions that you can think of, like they'll all be there. And do you have a promotion that you'll like to be on, or a promotion that you always wanted to join?
Promotion that I always wanted to join is mainly WWE, only because they have a age thing, and I'm, like, pushing the envelope and just working hard and stay humble, but pushing the envelope to maybe a chance like, hey, okay, this guy almost 50, but he can work. You know, I was there in 2019 as an extra talent, and ended up as a head police officer and arrested Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair. And that was like being humble and busting my tail and just going to different seminars.
Right. I do have one comment. We were talking about Dream opponents earlier. Let's say if Cross does get a New Japan shot after the try, I'd love to see, I know this might be a long shot, but I'd love to see Ethan versus Minoru Suzuki. Just two older badasses going at it. I'd love to see it.
Cool.
From New awesome. Japan. But Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, like, so now only, because I remember, like, when we were talking, like, you also made an appearance in WWE, but, like, there were, like, so many other wrestlers from Virginia who have made appearances lately. So, like, I want to ask, like, what was it like seeing those guys getting a shot at and being on the promotion? Because I know I just saw Erica Lee and Jordan Blaze in AEW Dark. So what was it like watching them?
Oh, it was awesome. Like, I'm always happy. I can't be like most and be like, oh, man, why they on there? I'm very happy. Especially Jordan Blaze, because when she came into the wrestling business, I was a teacher at GXW and taught her a little bit, and then she went from what she know, and then she went out, and then being humble and go to different tryouts, and man, going to different promotions, and she made a name for herself. So I'm proud of her, especially because I kind of taught her just a bit on fundamentals. But anybody that I know or Russell and I see them on TV, I'm like, yes, yes, it's about time. Yes. And then some of the older ones that I seen that been in the business before me, and then when I see them, I be like, man, it should have been got them. Man, what took them so long? Yeah.
Hey, Tony, before we get to that, John, if you're listening, please let Velvet in. Velvet's one of our co-hosts, was the main host of the show, if you do see him. But, Tony, go ahead if you have any more questions.
Actually, before I go any further, I know it is sponsor time, so I'm going to let John take it away from here.
No. John, he usually promotes the show half hour in, but because he's busy, and we got to get him to let Velvet in, because he's in charge of the queue. But Tony, please. If you have any more questions, Jordan Blade, I've seen her locally for a while. I think I used to see her at GXW, and it was good seeing her at UEW. I know we were just talking about her, but how I saw Jordan at AEW Dark. Do you think there's more opportunity for Jordan Blade, after these AEW Dark matches?
I always say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you get on a program like that, like they got the foot in the door. It's up to them to remain humble and just push for what they know and give them 110%.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, with Jordan, like, you know, I've seen, like, the most amazing things that she can do in the ring, because I can tell, like, she definitely been training in brilliant jiu-jitsu. And, like, the way, I mean, her submissions are just really amazing. Like, I'm kind of figured that's why she called herself the ankle snapper.
Yeah.
But
I think she grapples out of Mongrel, and I've seen Mongrel guys at my gym, and one of them was like Ukrainian. I'm like, oh my god, guy looks like a real old school pugilist, and like. Got a heavy Ukrainian accent. He's helped me out, but I was like, man, I wouldn't want to mess with this guy outside of the gym. But it seems like, and I've seen Mongrel, I actually saw Jordan do a couple of jiu-jitsu matches when I was kind of starting in it, and she got like a good Kimura thing, like from Mount. Believe it was pretty neat seeing her grapple outside of pro wrestling. So yeah, that was cool. I think she's a blue belt, so I'm glad Tony reminded me of that. And Erica Lee is one of my favorite Virginia women's talents too. And her and Jordan had a match, I believe, at a UEW wipe a while back.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Isaiah Frazier. How was it like working with him, and do you see a lot of potential in him? I think we had him on the show, too, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I see a lot of potential in him. He's another one. Like, by me being older, I'll give people advice a lot, and I take advice from them as well. I always say, only difference between me and them is the age thing. That's it. It's not what we would perform in the ring, and it's just the age thing. They got opportunity quicker than, you know what I'm saying, that I do. So it's like, go for it. If you get the opportunity, go for it. Like, I'm very happy. Go for it. I'm the one busting. I'm not saying that they don't bust. They bust their tails too, but age-wise, it's like, you got to think of, in a business sense, if you got a guy in the 40s and then got a person in the 20s, you got down the road business-wise, what you going to do with that person in 20 years? I might not even do nothing in 20 years. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You got to think of it. I think of it as that way. You know what I'm saying? Got an opportunity, go for it. Don't let that chance pass you by. If it pass you by and it come my way, I'm taking it.
another Virginia wrestler I'd love to ask you about. Have you ever worked with Phil Brown?
Yes.
You two seem to be the elder statesmen, that the old school that kind of holds it down for Virginia.
Yes. I love Phil Brown. Phil Brown, awesome. He gave me a lot of advice.
Dr. John, I'm going to have to stop everybody because it looked like we had the Amazing Velvet on the line for a few minutes. We'll hope he comes back. Anyway, WLSC AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, station break for the night. Please continue, Ethan.
All right.
Yeah, that was our ad break. Yeah, do you have a favorite moment or match with Phil Brown?
Oh, man. I think we only wrestled once, I believe. I done had so many matches with different people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Not offhand. Can't think of it right now.
I do have a general question. Is there any way Virginia wrestling can expand? Because it seems like it seems very limited. I know there's been several promotions over the years, but Do you have any advice for promoting in Virginia? Because I know we have Next Up Pro Wrestling in Yorktown coming up in December, and I'm really happy for them to, you know, get some events going. Do you see yourself possibly working Next Up? And do you have any advice for wrestling promotions in Virginia in general?
I have a show with Next Up Pro Wrestling December the 10th.
Right.
But any promotion that comes out of Virginia, my advice, I always say, it's up to us as workers to promote shows, period. Yes, promoters promote stuff, but it boils down to what we can do too. Like, we can put tails in seats. It is up to us. We can have 1,000 promotion in Richmond, but if us as workers don't put tails in seats, it is hard to like get going and up coming and stay that natural course. My advice, anybody that's come out of Richmond, let's promote shows, period. Whether you're a promoter, a referee, a worker like I am, a ring crew, doesn't matter. Promote, promote, promote. That's how we get people in seats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also,
go ahead, Tim.
Well, also, I know VCW also has a show coming up as well. And I know their special guest is Hall of Famer Ron Simmons. So I would ask you, how excited are you for that event and for them to have Ron Simmons?
Oh, yeah. VCW does good regardless. Whether they have Ron Simmons or XWWE, Hall of Famer, whether they just have local, they does well as far as promoting, when to promote. Man, getting people in seats. I worked with VCW once, and that's been a while, super a while. My opponent was Chris Escobar.
Nice.
And he was my opponent when I did a show for VCW once. I wouldn't mind going back to VCW.
Yeah, we interviewed one of the on show commissioners, George Panta, so maybe we can get him to take a look. But you just said the name Chris, and it reminded me of another Chris. Did you ever work with Chris Silvio? Did you ever see him around in Richmond?
I know who he is. I never worked with him. I wouldn't mind working with him because I've seen him.
Oh yeah.
On social media, he does. He's good. He good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, he little virtual seminars and stuff. So to get people wanting to get better. So, oh man.
Yeah, he was definitely one of the best Richmond wrestlers I've seen, or just Virginia wrestlers in general. I think him and Damian Wayne had a real awesome match at VCW years ago that I watched. And then a match you had that was really great. I remember seeing this at GXW. I believe it was my birthday, too. I think it was Mr. Grimm. Any thoughts on Mr. Grimm and specifically that match? Because that was intense. I heard about that you might have, had to seek medical attention after. Is that true? What are your thoughts on that match?
Yeah, I love that match. I believe, too much I don't remember, because, I had to go medical issues. But, man, he thought it was something he did, and I told him it wasn't nothing he did. It was just me, But besides that little hiccup, oh, man, I had so many matches with that man. He taught me so much. Man, that's another guy that know what he's doing, know how to, man, he can wrestle.
Yeah, like yeah. I watched a little bit of Mr. Grimm, and I would say, like, he's a very talented wrestler.
Right.
Yeah. And forgot his size and get to do the other stuff. Yes.
Yeah, I would say that was one of my favorite Virginia matches in general. Also, since we were talking about DuPont earlier, I believe you worked with Corey Bush in that faction. Was there any other DuPont members you can mention? And what are your thoughts on working with Corey Bush?
I like Corey. Corey, cool. It's like we mashed together. Like, they put us together, and then stuff just worked. I have a different method in doing matches, and he has another. So it came together, and it worked.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to see you both at the Classic Pro Show a while back. It felt like a GXW reunion for me, just seeing the DuPont family together and everybody there. And but since you're having tryouts come up, I'm glad Tony mentioned this. Do you have any advice for wrestlers in getting a tryout, or just what they should do during a tryout to get them noticed?
Oh, for 1 hour. Well, I would tell them, seek seminar. They teach you so much. Not saying that whoever trained them don't teach them, but seminars teach you much, and they teach you what those type of promotions look for. Because that's what I do. I always on social media, I'm always seeking seminars after seminar after seminar. Once you do the seminar, stand out, be different. Don't do what everybody else do. Just be different. As far as how you wrestle, your attitude, your demeanor, everything. Just stand out. People love that. People see that. And you never know when an opportunity comes. I always tell them, go for it.
Yeah, I'm glad I can get that answer. And what would you say was the best seminar you've been to so far?
The best seminar? When I went to Danny Kaye's seminar in Paulsboro, New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I would say that was the best seminar. Like, the other seminar also been good also. But that particular, when I was going to seminars for Danny Cage and Monster Factor, after that, like, I think a year or two later, I ended up doing extra talent for WWE because I learned some stuff. And I was like, oh, cool. That is new. I like this. Yeah.
We just had a really great segment at AEW. I'm not sure if you saw it, but it was MJF and William Regal. And MJF brought up that he was working with Brian Myers and somebody else, and he was getting extra work, and it led to this great promo. Talked about how he had a tryout, but he was too young. He was 19, and Regal told him he couldn't take him. And I know why. It's because of the rental card age thing. You can't rent a car till you're 25. But But this, for the sake of this promo, it was just great drama there. And MJF, you know, almost had a job, but he was just too young. And then he was told to keep emailing Regal. And then it was just such a great segment. And I kind of lived vicariously through that moment because I've thought of, like, just Regal kind of resonates on a certain level, and just seeing that was so good. So what, I'm glad I can pick your brain about tryouts and whatnot, because that was just recently a big part of this segment, this feud with the MJF and Regal's group. Was there anybody at a tryout that you kind of took notice that, you know, someone that was kind of leading it that you're just like, oh, man, it's this guy, like, you know, this name here. And, John, I believe Velvet is back. Please let him on after Ethan answers this question.
Yay! Yeah, answer your question.
He's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's Velvet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Hmm.
Like someone like a William Regal, someone that was in charge of this tryout that you really wanted to impress the most.
Oh, I really wanted to impress the most? Man. There were one, two, three. There was three people. One, Bill DeMott, because he was there. Kevin Kelly. And Cage, of course, but he gave me advice. Rip Rogers.
Wow. Yeah, Bill DeMont and Rip Rogers are pretty old school. Please explain your experiences with them.
Oh, it was a good feeling. I picked their heads, and, like, everybody worked different. Like, you got some that would do a match in the back, and then some do other stuff. Do matches in the back, because memory gone, done. So I had to pick what works for me. What worked for me was...
Call it the ring.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would work
call
for
it
me.
The ring.
Yeah, our co-host Velvet is a wrestler and promoter of South Carolina. So, Velvet, if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to add some voice.
Yeah, you guys were spot on a lot of stuff I heard earlier and just now. Biggest thing is make sure you're respectful to everybody and shake everybody's hand in the locker room and introduce yourself. I know that's a gimme. A lot of people don't do it anymore. But if you still do that, that shows people that you still care. Okay, just make sure you're doing that. And, pick everybody's brain you can pick. You never know who you're going to run into in one of those locker rooms or at a seminar or whatever. So, you know, always be respectful and be attentive. Other than that, I mean, I've wrestled for 30 years, wrestled in the big time. I've wrestled with big time players. And the thing is, always pay attention and listen. Because old school guys like myself call most of it in the ring. We call the first 2 minutes of the match, call the finish. Everything else is called in the ring.
Yeah.
So,
actually,
and if you can, go ahead.
Oh, actually, speaking of that, like when you was working with WWE, like who was like someone that you got to meet or bump into that day and be like, oh my God, I just met this person and got to talk to them. Like. Were there, like, anyone?
Well, I was in WCW, and I got to sit at the dinner table at lunch. Rey Mysterio, Torrey Wilson, Mike Awesome, not Big Papa Pump, but his brother, Rick Steiner, and Disco Inferno. Rey Mysterio is smaller than I am. I'm 5'3". He's all of 5 foot. Seriously, he's short. And I made Scott Steiner mad. And Rick Steiner thought it was funny. So, But I mean, we had fun. But Mike Awesome. Now, before Mike Awesome, you know, committed suicide. Mike Awesome was a plethora of knowledge. This guy, for a big man, was like the most technical if you talk to him, and he never showed that in the ring a lot. But he knew his technical stuff. So we had a good time talking. I mean, the whole thing is you take something from everybody, the good, the bad, and the ugly, period. Steiner's a big jerk, okay? He got him and his brother both got beat up by several people in locker rooms because they run their mouth. But that's how they are. They try to intimidate people. You know, they just try to intimidate them. That's just their M.O. So,
I know there's been, like, a lot of people that met Rick Steiner say, like, oh, they'd be like, oh my gosh, what a jerk.
He is a jerk. But you know what? Here's the thing, though. You just got to deal with it and move on about your day. You know, you just can't let that bother you, because if you know where you want to go and you're going that way, he's not a part of it.
I got to follow up on this. Ethan, did you ever have any tough opponents you had to kind of humble in the ring or outside the ring?
I was always humble, so I would say no to that because I was I'm the type of person that it didn't matter if they was a veteran, been business longer than me or short time. I'm like always willing to learn either way, and I'm like okay, cool,
right.
And I'm willing to watch my match and be like, man, I shouldn't have done that.
You learn from that. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And you take something away different every time. Like I said, good, bad, or indifferent. You're not going to be spot on every match. Trust me, it's not going to happen. You're going to have crappy matches. They're going to come sometimes in a bunch at one time. You know, you could be on a tour and have to wrestle 15 dates, and you could have 15 really crappy shows. You know, and that would be it. But, I mean, it happens that way. You know, you're not on every night. You know, but you can – the only way you fix that is by taking a step back and look and say, okay, I need to slow down here. I need to speed up here. I need to take a break here. I need to powder out here. Things like that. Things that you know.
Yeah.
You can read your opponent. You can go talk to the crowd because they're going to take over. As soon as you turn around, they're going to knock you or they're going to knock you from behind. That way they take over and you move on. You know, sometimes they need a break. Sometimes you need a break. Not a lot of people know that. You know, that's a veteran.
Yeah.
If you're with a veteran, they know that. They know that. But the youngins, they just want to fly and jump all over the place and this and that and blah, blah, blah. They'd be lucky if I'm still standing there to catch them when they come off the top rope. this kid did not call a spot, and I sidestepped and he flew right through the middle rope, his belly flopped right on the cement floor, and I said, how did that feel, youngin? He didn't call it, and I didn't see him until the last second. And I just went, oh, shit, and moved out the way. But, I mean, there's nothing I could do because I had my back to him. You don't dive on a person with their back to you.
Yeah, true.
When I turned around, he was already more than halfway through the middle rope. That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
So, just saying.
Sorry to interrupt. Tony, you had a question or a comment?
Oh, yeah. No, I had a comment on that. It was like, Ethan, I remember watching a video of you. I don't remember like which show it was, but I know it was outside. And where the pendant benches are, you know, they have the roof and stuff that go over the pendant benches. I remember seeing you jumping off that roof. I was like, oh, my gosh. With Ethan... You know, Ethan's age and jumping off a roof like that, I was like, wow. Like,
look at Sting, 63 years old, jumping through tables. What are you talking about?
Yeah, crazy.
I jumped off a bus one time in Atlanta. I'll never do that again, but I did it. just saying, you live once in the business and you will do stupid stuff, trust me.
I believe that was a Merlin show when I jumped off the roof.
Wow.
Cool.
you mentioned Bill DeMott earlier. He kind of really turned – he had a show, and he kind of really turned me on to Crowbar. Just, I don't know,
yeah,
he
Crowbar
resonated.
Good.
He's gotten better with age, too, like in recent years.
Yeah.
And I was glad
to see
that he got that AW Dark match. But and then Rip Rogers, I got a nasty story I can't share anywhere, but I won't go into it. But
we'll talk about that later. How's that? We'll talk about that in private. I got plenty of those myself.
Yeah. So if you have any Rip Rogers stories later, Ethan, please feel free to share them after the show.
Yeah,
but since we're running out of time, is there anything you'd like to plug, Ethan? Social media, any events coming up? Where can we find you?
Events coming up. December 3rd, I'm in New Jersey. Show starts, I believe, at 7, I believe. December 29th, I'm in Maryland, called C3W. You can follow me on social media. Ethan Cross 41 on Instagram, Ethan Cross on Facebook, and Ethan Cross 41 on Twitter.
There you go. And now you know.
Yeah.
Velvet, you have any comments or
questions? I don't have anything to
plug.
I don't have anything to plug, but I want to thank everybody who's kept this podcast going. You guys have been rocking it. I've been sick for 9 weeks. I went from 180 pounds to 138 pounds. Now I'm back up to 164. So, and then I got the crud this week, too, on top of all that. So, yeah, I've been sick. Been battling.
Mm-hmm.
Had a rough chemo spot there for a while. But I got 4 weeks off. I went to a ball game and came back, and now I got the crud. So, yeah, gay me. But my thing is pro wrestling interviews. Just make sure you know, I'll try to get back as much as I can now. Hopefully this round won't kick my butt, but if it does, it does. And nothing I can do about it. But anyway, no, go ahead. Plug on.
Well, we're glad to hear your voice, and Velvet's kinda old school too. He's trained by Susan Green, in the Carolina area, so I'm sure Ethan and Velvet can relate, but Tony, you have any comments or plugs to mention while we still have time?
I do want to remind everyone to follow me on Instagram at official Tony Robinson, and also want to remind everybody, if you're in the 757 area, the Hampton area, Norfolk area, or wherever area you're in, definitely go check out VCW on December 3rd and also Next Up Pro Wrestling on December 10th.
Awesome. Guys, I'm glad to hear Velvet's voice. Glad Tony was able to get Ethan to come on the show. Really glad to hear, really glad to pick Ethan's brain. Please support Ethan Cross and ProWrestlingNews.com. John, I know he's listening in. We'll wrap it up.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah.
Dr. G.I.
Take us home, John.
Yeah, it's great. I've been traveling and running the show. Velvet, it's tremendous to hear you back. It's just you're just one of a kind, and you're a great wrestler and a great personality in this business. Thanks. Thank you, Ethan. Great interview. We enjoyed it. Tony and Seller Steven, thanks for the great job that you did tonight.
Absolutely.
And we'll see everybody back. And I'm going to plug ScaryCast on Monday night, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Go to ScaryCastPodcast.com. We've got great, great interviews, horror, science fiction, paranormal, and everything. So we'll see you tomorrow night. Then next week, 7:30 p.m. on the one and only Pro Wrestling Interviews. You guys be good and see you next week. And thanks, Ethan.
All right. Thanks, Ethan.
All right.